know that it's time for a cool change.
Right in the middle of a conversation with product specialist from Phoenix Manufacturing, Mr. Gary Joas. I got it right that time. I kept putting an N in it. Best friend in high school was Jonas, and I keep tying it in. But somebody listening to this and thinking through all the benefits we've talked about of app cooling, they've got to be asking themselves, well, why did the industry ever go away from this?
I think the biggest problem in the evaporative cooling industry was when they started making more and more efficient refrigeration systems, and they started raising the SEER from 10 SEER to 12 SEER, and then 16 SEER and 18 SEER. The evaporative cooler industry didn't really respond and say, hey, what about us? We're still here. We're still a lot less expensive than running a compressor on the side of the house. So we probably missed the boat a little bit back there. And so now we're in a position to where we're trying to have a rebirth and a rejuvenation of the residential business. It's still out there on factory roofs. It's being used like crazy. But we really kind of lost a hold of a lot of the new building construction, new home construction.
Well, I can't tell you a house that Rosie or I own that doesn't have an evap cooler in the garage. And we'll get to the garage aspect and the patio aspect. But one other thing just to address as somebody's, for educational purposes, an evap cooler in the monsoon, when we get that high humidity, you start running into a reduced
efficiency.
Talk through that.
Yeah, that happens. And the easiest way to explain it, as the humidity goes up, there's a thing called a wet bulb depression, and that's the difference between a dry and a wet bulb temperature. The dry bulb temperature is what we feel every day. The wet bulb temperature is the coldest the air is going to get through evaporation. So if you had a media or a pad that was 100% efficient, which nobody has, you'd be able to be blowing air out of that evaporative cooler at the wet bulb temperature. Now, the efficiency of the media comes into play because the difference between the dry and the wet bulb temperature is that area that you're able to use. So if there's a difference of 30 degrees, it's 100 degrees out, the wet bulb temperature is 70. If I have media that's 75% efficient, I'm going to be reducing the temperature by 20 degrees. Okay, so you subtract that. We have media, the more efficient media now is 93.5% efficient. So if you have a wet bulb depression of 40 degrees, and it's 110 degrees out, I could be blowing almost 70 degree air out of that evaporative cooler. As that humidity goes up and as that wet bulb depression gets smaller, so that wet bulb temperature gets higher and closer to the dry bulb temperature.
Instead of 70, you maybe only get 80%.
You may go and get 80, which is where in a residential application, you don't want 80 degree air blown into your house. That's why in July and August, you want to shut down the evaporative cooler for a little while and turn on your air conditioner for another couple of weeks. So there are times where you're going to still have to use air conditioner in the desert Southwest. There's places in Colorado and Utah where they don't use refrigeration at all. People use evaporative coolers as their sole means of cooling.
You can do that in the Rockies.
Absolutely. You can do it in Flagstaff. If you had a house in Flagstaff, if you're living in Flagstaff, I'm sure there's a lot of people up in Cottonwood and Flagstaff. They're using evaporative coolers, and if it's cool enough, if you're only looking at a temperature of 95 or 100 degrees, even if the wet bulb depression isn't all that great, if you can be blowing 75 or 80 degree air through the house and you get that velocity effect, it keeps you cool.
And with the changes in the new rate structure with the utilities, I think we're going to see a resurgence to this as people are going to be becoming yet creative again on cutting their utility costs. But I want everyone to understand you wouldn't run your evap cooler on peak and your air conditioning and off peak because you're making the two units work harder. They
right.
are completely conflicting in how they cool the home. An evap cooler adds moisture. A air conditioning removes moisture. So you're just wearing down your air conditioning if you're trying to operate them at the same time. You've got to completely operate one or the other.
Yeah, a lot of people would say when the dew point hits 55, turn off your evaporative cooler and start using your air conditioner again. And then once that dew point comes back down to 55, shut down your air conditioner, turn on that evaporative cooler for the rest of the season.
And how long does that change? I mean, could I go back and forth 1 week to the next
sure.
if it keeps jumping up and down?
Yeah, it's a little bit inconvenient to do that. So, I mean, I know for myself, I would decide, all right, I'm going to just pull the plug on the evap because the temperature's starting to be consistently above that, you know, 55 degree dew point. And then I'm just going to wait, because once it hits that, in the old days here, they used to say when the dew point goes stays above 55 degrees for 3 days in a row, that's what we're calling our monsoon season. Well, now for some reason, our weather companies decided to just...
Just an arbitrary date.
Arbitrary June 15th, date, I think, which is silly. But if you go to the old school method and say it's when that dew point is above 55 for 3 days in a row, it's not likely going to come down for another month or so historically here in the valley. So once you hit that point, just turn it off, switch over to refrigeration for a couple of weeks or a month and a half if it takes it, and then switch back again, then you're probably good for the rest of the year.
And y'all have a great, and we're going to get into the individual products here on the next segment, but y'all have a great website, phoenixmanufacturing.com, that breaks it down from residential, commercial, mobile, and outdoor. We're going to get into all those different applications right after this. And you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. You've been involved in evap cooling in Phoenix, Arizona for...
Since 1988.
You probably identify a lot of evap cooler manufacturer models over the past years. If someone's got an old one they had questions on, just snap a picture and
absolutely,
we can help pinpoint it. All right, here at Rosie on the House.